Hey guys, welcome to Painkiller Already. It's the episode 10, and for the Big Ten, we have a special guest today. Who do we have?
We have Blame Truth. What's up, guys?
We have Blame Truth, one of the founders of the commentary scene.
Yeah, Blame Truth, I've been meaning about it. I once saw a video where X-Cal said that he really hated you, you know, in a jovial way, for making commentary the new standard, that he couldn't just post uncommentated gameplay anymore. Are you the first guy to do commentary? What's the story behind that?
As far as I know, I'm the first guy to do commentary on multiplayer games like COD. But I don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. But the first guy to do commentary on shooters, I think so. But yeah, I started that, some subscriber suggested it to me, and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot, whatever. And I tried it out, people loved it, and then, X-Cal, who was also pretty big at the time, he's not that big now because he doesn't post anything, ever, but he was pretty big at the time, and he, everyone was pestering him to do commentary and stuff, too, so he finally did commentary, and we were the two biggest guys for a while, and then Modern Warfare 2 came out. We both hated it, so we got kind of behind. But
Hutch was big too. Hutch was big and Beyond, beast of a player.
Yeah, Beyond. He's a great player, but he's got issues because he deleted his channels randomly.
I know.
15,000
subs. So I'm not as extreme as him, but. I do get what it's like to have your bad days. I remember he showed his face once, and he's a good-looking guy, but he doesn't have movie star teeth. And my gosh, they came out of the woodwork to talk about that, and it was just not very nice. And I can, see where maybe a younger guy could be there who could say, you know what, screw this. I don't get paid. I put a lot of effort into this, and for people to give me a hard time after I've done nothing but give to you for nothing back. I see where he came from.
Yeah, totally.
So,
yeah, I remember back in the day, everybody thought that you and X-Cal were the same person.
That was
forever.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Then you'd have these, occasional slip of the tongues. You'd say, almost half put out, on my Dining Writing to Horace account, I did this. Wait. And they take it back. And that's not exactly right. But you guys would do these, little slips that implied you were the same person.
it was a big joke because everyone, for whatever reason, people said that we sounded the same. I didn't hear it at all. I really didn't hear.
No, I don't think you sound the same. And that not just the natural voice, but the tone and the meter of your speech is different.
The
as
Yeah, there's a similar inflection to your voices, I think.
Really?
Sometimes there is. I've heard it before. At one point, I was when I first started watching yours and X-Cal's videos, I was maybe they are the same person. I remember some guy was
oh my gosh. I thought I was the freaking emotionally retarded one on the podcast. It's you.
No, well, I mean, the first video or two of theirs that I saw, I was maybe they are. And some guy was yeah, dude, they use a computer program to alter their voice. It's it's just one of those YouTube conspiracies. I get a lot of that, too.
Yeah, my subscribers keep thinking FPS Kyle's FPS Russia. Had to set them straight.
Or they think that you are. I love, I saw a comment today. They're like, Wings of Redemption is really FPS Russia. Oh, my God. Let's hear your Russian accent, Wings.
I don't have one.
Exactly. There you go.
I have two accents. I have troll accent, and I have southern dumbass accent.
Nice.
Right. I prefer the term Southern gentleman. Personally.
There you go. I do too. People don't realize I'm from the South, so they'll be on my video and they'll be like, "Yeah, that dumb hick Wings." I'm like, dude,
I hate the term hick or hillbilly,
dude.
Don't
be fucking with him.
Here's a message: if you call me a hick or hillbilly in my comment section, you can guarantee that next morning you won't have a video in my sub box.
People get on me for blocking a lot, but I don't really block that much. I have about 70 blocks, and of those,
I have 70 blocks of video.
Of those 70 blocks, probably half of them are community blocks. People didn't even do anything to me, but they, for example, just recently, you guys know Bash, iBash TV.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
Yeah. One of his subscribers called him a nigger in his channel, and you know, I don't know if I don't know if he's ever even seen my videos, but he's blocked now. You know, it's
yeah,
gone. Sorry, baby. It's over for you. And that's what happens if you haze one of the YouTube commentators. We're kind of a community. We mostly know each other. We play together a lot. You see in my videos, almost always in lobbies filled with other YouTube commentators. And, you give one of them a hard time, then you're blocked from all the channels. That's just how it rolls.
We should touch on that.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason YouTube commentators play together isn't because, you know, we want each other's company because we're good players. It's the same aspect as a movie star. Once you get to that rank and ascertain that, you can't make friends no more because everybody wants something from you.
Yep. Exactly.
I was going to say that. I was like, as soon as he finishes this sentence, I'm going
to
jump in and say that.
I've always wanted to say that, but I know what the dumb subscribers are going to say. They're going to be like, oh, you think you're a movie star now? Like, no, I don't. I realize that I'm not a movie star. I realize that only, like, you know, maybe 50 or 60,000 people know who I am, and of those, only like 35 or 40,000 of them subscribe to me and actually watch my videos. But if somebody sends me a friend request out of the blue, it's not because they want to get to know me and be my buddy and get along. They're thinking to themselves, maybe he can put me on his channel or on the podcast, or he can put my video on his channel. That would be great. He could help me out so much. That's all they're thinking. They're coming to you.
Yeah.
With a
I actually hate being treated like a celebrity. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be treated like a normal person. And people always wonder, like, why I add random people on Xbox that I don't know before. It's because I actually like who they are. You know what I mean? They don't treat me like a celebrity and we get along. So, like, I had a Krunk Skunk. He has like, he had like 800 subscribers when I added him.
Yeah.
My friends list is because I thought he was a cool guy. So, I mean,
the big thing with me is I like the factor that I can do bad and not get criticized for it. Like, if I'm playing with subscribers, and the other night I was doing the whole Sandy Ravage thing, and one of my games ended up like 39-21.
That's not a consistent play style, right? I'm sorry to cut you off. Everyone knows when you rush into the enemy spawn like that and use a shotgun, it's not a consistent play style, right? Some of your games, if things go right, are going to be 110, and some of them are going to be 30-30.
Yep.
Yeah, but I just like that comfort. Like, if I'm playing with Woody, he's not going, well, you suck. I knew it.
My favorite is I was playing the other day in a free-for-all, and 6 free-for-alls in a row, I won, like, handily. Like, I went, like, 30-5 or better. And then the 7th one comes along, and I end up I get bad spawns over and over and over. I just keep spawning out in the open and getting picked from elevated positions, and I end up, like, I think I lose the game. I think I went like 24-12 or something. And this guy goes, so you're going to put that one on Machinima? And he hadn't said a word to me the previous 6 games, but as soon as I do bad, you putting that one on Machinima, douchebag? Fuck you, man.
Yeah. And the other thing, like, if I play with the Wings or like a Hutch or Kyle or whoever, they're not trying to get anything out of me. It's hard to form new friendships in this little community sometimes. Because, people are sort of looking to leverage you. And you have to be careful. I don't know, it changes things a little bit.
But I just don't get how people, think that us commentators go, like, 30-1 or whatever every game. Like, there's a reason we're posting these games. It's because they're standout good, you know what I mean? Like, I'll get in the lobbies where I'll go, 4-1, like, 24-6 or something, and like, people will be like, well, Blintruth didn't do too well. And I'm like, I'm not going to go 30-1 every game. Like, I post the 30-1 because obviously I did something right. Or the people I were facing did something wrong. So.
And even, what's your KD, Blaine? About 3-ish? Less?
On which game?
Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare 2, it's like 3.5 something.
Right?
I quit.
That's a super strong KD. But, you probably got your games where you're even on there. And I'm sure you've gone negative. Everybody does.
Dude, if I didn't like fucking love using SMG so much, I could probably have a 4-1. But, I mean, I've gotten games where I've gone negative just because, I mean, if you try to use an SMG and actually rush like you could in COD 4, you're going to get fucked over.
Yep.
Simple as that.
So I've been trying to get some Sandy Ravage gameplay. Use that on the wrong map, and it's about impossible.
Yep, definitely.
There are some long lines of sight. And you come running around with a shotgun and Juggernaut's gone, it's hard to get close enough to do anything.
Yep.
It's like my bio on Xbox Live says playing Modern Warfare 2 is like tying your shoes. Anyone can do it. No one cares how good you are at it.
Hey, I have a new topic. So I'm going to go to Wings of Redemption first because I'm guessing he's thought this through. All right. If you wanted to murder someone and get away with it, how would you go about doing it?
Oh, I know how I'd go about doing it.
I knew you would, baby. I knew you would. Go ahead. Lay it on me.
I do, too.
Well, the actual way of killing him, probably just shoot him. I mean, some plan was dead. The whole idea is to cover it up. You want to keep the blood splatter to a minimum. You want to use a smaller caliber, like a .22 or something that will rattle around inside them, something that will bend over onto itself. Yep. After they're done, the way I would dispose of the body, there's a couple ways. The first one would be pigs. I don't know if you know this, but a trial of, you know, full-grown pigs, like 12 or 12-plus of them, can eat a human corpse in less than 2 hours.
Yeah. As
what about hair, the bones?
Hair, cartilage, bone. Another way to do it is go to a hardware store beforehand and get you some chain-link fence, some cinder blocks, and some leather, like a nice sheet of leather. Wet the leather, wrap them up into it, power dry it with a blowgun, then put them in the chain link fence like a burrito, and basically tie meat to it, and sand it down, throw it in a murky river like the Pitch Landing or Little PD, some with black murky water full of mercury that has gators in it. What's going to happen? Even if the gators don't eat them, the body's going to erode with gas, and you know, like plop up and try to come to the top of the water, and eventually it's going to cut their body into little pieces from the chain link fence, and the gators and fish will eat it.
Oh, that's smart. Wow. I've actually thought of a way to do that too, but mine's a much more
way. The leather basically, when leather is wet and you dry it real fast, it tightens up like an anaconda, and it'll break and shatter the bone.
Yep.
Well, I was going to...
All right, Blaine, you're next. That. You got to top that. It's not easy to top that.
Well, I mean, I've thought about it. I'm not crazy. I'm not like an angry guy or whatever. I don't have anyone I want to kill. But, I mean, if I had to, like, what I would do is probably just use some... like, let's say there was a guy lived in a neighborhood and I wanted to kill him. I'd probably break into his neighbor's house, steal something he owns. For instance, maybe hit a machete he has, which has his fingerprints on it, kill the guy with it, and then maybe sneak back into the dude's house and put the machete back in, you know, his little house there, and he'd probably get blamed for it, and that's a pretty terrible thing to do, probably, but, I mean, you know.
But that's that.
All right, got it.
Well, it depends on the situation. If you're in an air, I'm getting aimed. If I were in, like, say, Atlanta right now, like where I used to live, there's some high crime areas. Like, I would lure the person to a certain area, or I would follow the person to they were in a certain area, and I just walk up behind them, shoot them in the back of the head, and drop the gun, and empty their pockets, make it look like a robbery, you know, like a mugging or something. But where I live now is more of a rural area, so you don't get a lot of muggings here. So I would probably kidnap the person first at gunpoint and get them somewhere like where I am. I've got a ton of property, so I can get them out there. And it wouldn't really matter how you kill them. I'd probably just shoot them in the head and make sure I got the bullet out. And because you don't want forensics to come back on you with the bullet. Mm-hmm. But then I was thinking I would just burn the body. And I know it's you have to get pretty hot to incinerate people, but I've got an incinerator,
smell.
So that should take care of it.
Citric acid would be a better way.
Huh. So mine's not nearly as sophisticated. It was pretty much get them into an unpopulated area, knife them with a knife you never put prints on, and then dispose of it. And disposing of a knife should be pretty straightforward. It's not like I'm going to drop it in some dumpster or my house is trash, but put it in deep water, and it'll never be found. And that should be that. I wouldn't even, like, Wings' idea involved, like, pigs or citric acid or a lot of, like, body disposal. And to me, I'm thinking leave the body, let them find it. Just don't leave any traces behind. If there's a knife.
Yeah, I'd be too paranoid, back, though.
I hear you, but to me, let them find the body and just don't be tied to it. Because I think that the process of, like, say, bringing a body back to my farm, feeding it to the pigs, you know, now what do I have? Oh. I've got clothes with blood on it. I've got a trail with it. Are there forensics in my car? All that stuff.
With blood, son.
To me, keep this thing simple. Keep the guy in an area, puncture hole, and then leave him. I would make sure he's dead, by the way. If that takes 60 puncture holes, that's what it takes. But, yeah. You know, but...
You got to tell you, the Beatles told you to do it in the road, huh?
Yeah.
Nope. There you go.
There you go. But take him to an isolated area, use a knife, dispose of that knife completely, and you're good to go. I know this clothes you got to get rid of, too. I'm sure I get a blood.
And I remember, and I mean, you could always, like, if you really want to take somebody out, you could just shoot them from a long distance, you know, in a populated area. Remember the DC sniper? They would have mm-hmm. never caught those guys if they had just left after one or two.
Yep. They just cut a hole in the trunk and laid a back seat down.
There you go. Like, yeah. They weren't sophisticated. They were just sniping people out of their car and Outback Steakhouse parking lots and stuff.
Yeah, like, we call it sniping. They were using a Cart 15.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Bushmaster.
Yeah, had their Bushmaster. I got a Bushmaster. There you go.
So what is it? Explain. Describe the gun to me. What is it, like a deer gun?
It's an AR-15. No,
it's a varmint gun, actually.
An AR-15? Is that what you said it was?
Pretty similar.
Okay.
It's a 223.
Yeah. Hey, how are there killer? I have a 223. What was the kill rate on that? Were there many survivors with that gun?
No, there were none.
Really?
I think
there was one, wasn't there?
There might have been one that survived, but it seems like they killed 16 people, right?
You know, if you go to gun forums...
I don't think it was 16. I think it was like 6 or 7, but...
They act like the 223 is a BB gun, if you're, like, on the internet. If you don't have an
AK-47... It is for, like, penetration, but for killing people, that 223 will fuck you up because it bounces around inside of you.
I don't think so. I think it rips straight through you at 3,000 foot per second or something ridiculous like that.
Oh, it doesn't have enough energy to go straight through you. That's the reason it bounces around inside of you. It hits you and, like, curve in your body.
It might curve, but no way it's bouncing around and changing, you know.
I'm not talking like, you know, fucking cartoons, like, bing, 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 bing. Yeah. That's what you're pictured. I'm talking about hitting the muscle and, like, taking a jagged turn.
I could see
that. They killed 10 people, wounded 5.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why the M16 replaced the M14, 30 caliber versus the 5.56. 5.56 is the military standard, the 223, but it'll put you down. It will.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about the military standard, my understanding is a big part of it is carrying the bullets. You know.
Yeah.
I'm sure all of them would rather have 50 cals at the very moment they're pulling the trigger. But the rest of their lives, when they're dragging that ammo through the woods in Vietnam, when they're dragging that ammo across the desert and whatever, when they have to carry that, when they can only have one clip on their pocket because it weighs 4 times what a 223, not clip, magazine would weigh, then that's a big deal. So they use these lighter bullets can have more of them.
I hate to say it. I would take the extra weight for a 30 caliber over the 5.56, but the 5.56 does get the job done.
Well, here, let me say this. I read recently that almost all ammo in the military is used for suppressing fire. That something along the lines of, like, they get a hit one out of every, like, 75,000 bullets. That most of the time they fire rounds, it's just to make sure that person is, you know, hiding or keeping cover or staying away or... You know, they fire rounds just to make to clear the path, suppressing fire. We know what that is. So, you know, you say, "Oh, I'd rather have that heavy bullet." Well, you know, keep in mind most of these bullets aren't even for killing; they're just for keeping people hiding and letting them.
Yeah, well, I still rather have the heavy bullet because if I know if I get that hit out of that 75,000 rounds, he's dead. You ever seen what a 30 caliber does to flesh?
It's bad.
5-inch exit wound.
Yeah, I heard about some guy, like in, what was it? Was it Vietnam? Might have been Vietnam. Like, they issued the M16s, I think, then, real big, and he didn't want to use one. He wanted to use an M14 because like, the M16 round wouldn't kill a man. It just kind of, like, what's the word?
Incapacitate him,
yeah, and they could still, you know, it wasn't a sure... Yeah, it wasn't a surefire kill or whatever, and he wanted to use like an M14, but yeah.
Just for sanity's sake, you shoot a guy with a 5.56, you're wondering the rest of your life if you killed him or not, because you don't go check.
Yeah.
You got four or five other guys on the line next to him shooting at you.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're wondering the rest of your life, did I kill somebody? You hit him with an M14, I killed that guy.
Yeah, he, yeah.
That guy's dead. And if there was anybody behind him, they're dead too.
All right. Next topic.
I got one number on the same thing.
Oh, go ahead. You can go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. We're talking about methodical, like first degree murder here. How about out of anger, what would you do to somebody?
Choke him out.
I kill.
No, no. Give him a scenario. Give him a scenario of the person doing something horrible to him or his family.
All right. Say you got a wife and this guy's like plowing her, and you know it ahead of time, and you're driving there. Like you know that you know you can walk in on it.
Okay, I have a knife in one hand and a gun in the other. I walk in and I hand the dude my knife and then I shoot him.
You let you go here, buddy. Catch.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been choked out in a fight?
I have been.
Yeah.
I got knocked out one time, but wasn't in a fight.
Okay. Yeah. You guys might have had that. So mine wasn't a. I haven't been choked out in a real fight, but I've been choked out in training a couple times. And it's really disorienting. There is this, it's hard to describe how much it means to you, but there's this period of time that everyone else in the gym has that you don't. So, like, the first time it happened to me, here's the deal. I'm rolling. I'm doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And the guy I'm rolling with was a lot more experienced than I was at the time. And he had me in this position that I didn't recognize where the danger was, and he starts choking me. And I didn't know the escape, and he finishes the choke. Anyway, in my head, I can't see anything, but I'm still putting up like sort of an active resistance. And but what's really happening in the gym is the instructor, this black belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy, sees my neck in an awkward position while this guy's choking me, and he sort of hustles over and tells him to let go. Well, I come to a few seconds after that. And I see the black belt guy standing in front of me. But I thought he was the guy I was rolling with. Like, I didn't know what was going on. So I go for the takedown. And so he's like, whoa, 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 settle down, settle down. And I saw his black belt. It wasn't purple like the guy that choked me out. And I was like, oh, different person. What happened here? And that's when he explained that he saw my neck in an awkward position and came over and told the guy to stop choking me out. So I'm like, all right, let's go. Looking at the purple belt, let's try this again. And he's like, no, no, no. You're not going anywhere. And I'm like, no, no, not go anywhere. Let's roll, let's roll. Take a seat, buddy. And I tried to roll in a couple of times, and they weren't letting me do it. They had me settle down. And they were right, man. So coming out of this choking experience, one, I had a headache for the rest of the night. And two, I was kind of stupid. I drove home from the gym to the, I was in San Jose on a business trip, and it was almost akin to drunk driving. Like, I was happy to make it back to the hotel, and I didn't realize it was going to be like this when I started the trip, but I was just, everything about me was a little delayed, a little slow, and just processing the information that you would take in while driving is gone. So this ties into another story. My instructor back home here, Team Rock, some guy cut him off while driving, and my instructor flipped him the bird. Anyway, the guy gets out of his car and starts banging on the instructor's window. And this guy's a professional fighter. His ears are all cauliflowered. He shaves his head so no one can touch it. And the guy's banging on his window, yelling at him. And he's like, dude, you're making a mistake. And, but the guy's not having it. And the instructor's kind of small. He fights at, he fought at 170. He probably should have fought at 155. And so the guy either making a mistake, he's not having it. They go, and in the grassy median in the middle of the road there, it's like a four-lane thing with the dedicated left-hand turn area. That's where the fight happens. So they go to the side, and my instructor, the way he tells the story, with this kind of bored look on his face, the guy threw a punch, he immediately goes for the takedown. Now he's in full mount, and so the guy, being full mounted, rolls over onto his belly as if that would protect him. He lays in the rear naked choke, and then he sits next to him before he wakes up, like he's at a picnic. And the guy comes to, and he's like, dude, what happened? He's like, you just got choked out. You need to settle down. And and he's like, it was really awkward for me to explain to him that he just got his ass kicked. I feel for you. Anyway, when you choke a guy out, he is dumbfounded for a while. And you can do anything you want with that guy. You have won the fight a level that, you know, unless you've been choked out, you don't understand. You own that person. More chokings are there for the picking. You can beat him down. You can do anything you want. He's confused.
He sounds a little gay, Woody.
Okay, I wasn't going there, but like if
you're
my mind was
want to the guy. I don't know.
But how I know you're gay? Because you went there. Like, I was talking about breaking his nose. You're talking about ramming his rear. So
you're talking about naked chokes and doing anything you want to do to a guy. I don't know.
Woody, have you seen the have you seen the Boss Rutan self defense video?
Yes, those things are funny. I don't buy them. Like,
I think they work, but I was just gonna say, like, during one part, he's teaching you how to do an arm triangle choke, you know, to a guy, and he does it, and then he's like, once he's out, you can do fun games like pull the pants down and hide the spice bottle or something like that. Kyle said that, just reminded me of that. For
he's hilarious, and a lot of that stuff, but some of his tips were like, put your hand on the back of his head and slam it into the table. Now, you know, like, wings. If I put my hand on the back of your head, you know, just above your neck, and pushed your head towards the table, do you really think your forehead would slam into it at a rate that you'd get knocked out? I don't think so. You're talking about my arm against your upper body. Right? Some of these things are just they look kind of neat, and you're like, wow, Bass Rutan's got this guy pwned. But that's not how it goes down.
Most likely, your hand probably fly off the top of my head when I push back with my upper body.
Exactly. I'm not going to out-muscle your
stuff because.
Yeah, he's selling videos. I mean, he's funny.
Yeah, he's so big and like he can just muscle around people. But I mean, for a smaller guy to do that to a bigger guy, I don't think that'd work. Yeah. But
I mean, my dad's a really big guy. I'm 6'2", 200 pounds, and my dad makes me look like a little tiny, little bitch man. I can hold a basketball with one hand, and my dad had to have his wedding ring special made because he's a big, big man. He's about 6'3", 250 pounds, and he wears it well. And, back in the day, like, I'm not exaggerating, like, he was the badass in, like, North Georgia. And, I saw him getting I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I wouldn't say it just cause, like, you know, that's my daddy. He's a badass. No, it's not like that. Like, every time I talked to like one of the guys that's like my dad's buddy, he was like, you know, your dad was a badass. I saw him get this guy one time by a phone booth outside of Tasty Freeze. He knocked every one of his fucking teeth out. And like, and I was asking my dad one time when I was like 14, I'm like, so how did you do that? I heard you never lost a fight. He's like, I've never been hit. I was like, you got in all these fights, and like I'm talking about dozens and dozens of fights. I'm like, how do you get in that many fights and never get hit? He's like, I would always just tackle them. Sit on their stomach and beat the shit out of them, and basically what he was talking about was just grounding and pounding
before
grounding
and
pounding. I saw him get in a fight one time, and at the time I guess my dad was like 48, and I guess I was like 12 or 13 or something. But this guy had been running his mouth and saying some stuff he shouldn't be saying, and it kept weighing on my dad. And he's like, all right, we got to go find him. So we go to where this guy's working, and it's actually at a farm. And the other guy is bigger than my dad. He's probably 6'5", 300 pounds, this big, goofy looking dude. And my dad gets out of the car, and the guy's like, hey, Lamar, what's going on? He's like, you son of a bitch, I heard what you said. And we're in it's like a gravel driveway there, and it's the really big gravel, like it's like as big as your fist. Well, as big as a normal person's fist. And he picks up one of these rocks and holds it in his hand. And I asked him later, I'm like, why'd you pick up the rock? He's like, I wanted to make sure my hand was hard. And he punches the guy in the temple, and it's so loud, I had the windows rolled up, and I heard it. Pop! And this guy just, like, falls out into the back of his own truck, and my dad starts choking him, and his hands are reaching all the way around this man's neck, and the fingers are touching on the back. Because I can see from where I am that, like, he's got this man's neck like it's a chicken's neck, this giant man, and he's choking the shit out of him. And the man starts crying at this point. And, so my dad started, he was like, you know, I guess I can't rough him up too much more because he's out there crying in front of all these people. There were a lot of people watching. So then he went into what he calls the humiliation mode, which is where he just kicks the man in the ass for about 3 minutes and cusses at him.
Yeah. So my father was the opposite, but I have a fight story too. Let me tell it.
Hey, can I say you pick the rock up so you don't break your knuckles?
Oh, yeah, he broke every bone in his hand, and he saw the cast off 2 weeks later and just rolled with it.
Good. You like holding a lighter, like a roll of quarters, so your hand doesn't give. I guess there's less chance to break your knuckles.
Yeah, he actually broke his hand hitting that guy.
So my father was a much different guy. You know, your father was the badass of Northern Georgia. My father was the certified public accountant in Morristown, New Jersey. And nice. We're at the movies. And this guy, he's 17 years old. He's driving his car. And he heads up to these two 15-year-olds and kind of slams on the brakes, you know, too aggressively. And the 15-year-olds raise their arm in such a way that shows they're displeased. And the 17-year-old driving wants none of this. He gets out of the car, and he starts threatening to fight these two kids. And
he's looking for a fight.
Well, he was drunk. That was the deal. So so the drunk driver gets out of his car, and now he's ready to beat up these younger kids. And it was 2-on-1, but the kids were instantly scared. They were intimidated, and it wasn't going well. And my father saw this going down and, you know, goes over to the kid and tells him to, you know, bug off or whatever. Now the kid wants to fight my father. And while he's not like a true badass, you know, or at least I never thought of him that way, he's a, you know, 6 foot, 200 pounds, ex-naval pilot. And so that it gets into wrestling. And, you know, my father and this pretty athletic 17-year-old go to wrestling, and they land on the hood of the driver's car. And the thing gets all smashed in. And my father pushes him back, and he's like, "You want more? We can head to the trunk." And that was his badass line that made me laugh. So anyway, the 17-year-old kind of left the younger kids alone, got back in the car, and drove away with a little bit of body damage. That's his fight story.
Man. Yeah, road rage can end to some lead to some pretty serious altercations.
I had all these badass dads.
Let me tell you this story, because this is actually a pretty good one. My cousin and I we got to a four-way stop, a four-way red light, and to my right there was a car coming, and it hadn't quite slowed down enough. I was worried that maybe it was going to run the red light, so I didn't go right away, even though my light was green. And there's a car behind me that just lays on the horn, and I'm not talking about one of those beep, you know, just, you know, like, hey buddy, let's go. You know, he's like, "Womp," and I'm like, turn around. I'm like, "What the fuck?" And I look back, and I'm like, you know, the guy's looking at me, and he can see me in the mirror, and I like mouth, "Fuck you," and turn around and give him the bird. And it's this black guy in this like shitty ass car, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that guy's problem was. And so we drive about a quarter of a block, and my cousin's like, "He wants you to pull over," and I look back, and the guy's like motioning, you know, he's like pointing toward his right, you know, like, pull over. I'm like, well, he just made a fucking mistake, because I'm like 18 years old. I'm going through that phase where it's like, nobody's gonna fuck with me. And I've actually got what I called my thumper in the truck with me, which is basically about 15 inches of the end of a baseball bat with duct tape wrapped around it. So I'm like, all right, this guy's gonna have a bad day, so I'll hop out with that. And I run up to his passenger side window. And I start screaming at him, like, "Yeah, you want me to fuck you up? You want to fuck you up, you piece of shit?" And he's like terrified. He like backs up into the car. He's like, "I'm a judge." And I'm like, "Oh no." He might as well have pulled out a double-barreled shotgun. I was like, "Time to go." I like jump back in the truck. Scott at this point is like running around the truck. Like, he's there to back me up. He's like, "I was going to get him from the driver's side and drag him out." I'm like, no. So we take off out of there. I'm worried the guy's going to get my plates. So I just drive right into the intersection. I don't even look for cars. We could have easily been T-boned. I'm on sidewalks. I'm driving through parking lots. Anything to get the fuck out of there. We drove around for an hour just in the wrong direction away from home to avoid the police. Because I just knew that guy was going to be calling the cops. But if you're ever in a situation where you think somebody's going to beat the hell out of you, just yell, "I'm a judge," because that's better than a gun. That scared the shit out of me.
That's nice.
I got all these badass stories. I mean, the last fight I was in, I spray painted the guy in the eyes.
Oh, man. Ouch. Ouch. That's almost as bad as fucking me.
And the reason I was doing this is because I was losing the fight.
So you just had a can of spray paint handy?
No. Basically, we got in an altercation, like an argument over a video game. It was real young. I was like 14 at the time. And he was 17, I think. And he was a lot bigger than me at that time. And I think he beat me at a game. I forgot which game it was, and I was upset about it because I've always took losing at video games pretty hard.
Yeah.
So I push him, and he pushes me back, and then I go outside, and we had like this little shed outside, weren't much nothing, like a little rickety old man shed, and he comes back gloating and all. So I smack him as hard as a 14-year-old guy can smack him in the upper chest. And he pushes me into the shed wall so hard and like knocks my breath on the wall. And I like fell down. And when that happened, a can of spray paint fell in my hands from off of a shelf. So my first instinct was to hit him with it.
Wow. And he, for the eyes,
so he was crying and shit. And I was just laying into him, just like standing up over him.
Oh, no mercy, huh? There's no mercy rule after you spray paint
you
somebody
just
in the
kick
eyes.
Him in the ass. In humiliation mode.
Well, I knew I couldn't beat the guy physically.
I'm afraid I don't have any like badass fight stories, except for most of my stuff happened when I was really young. So I remember being about 5-6 years old, I had a temper when I was little, like really, really bad. And there was this like 9-10-year-old kid pushing me around. I remember I went with my cousin to one of his friend's house, and his little brother was like pushing me around for no reason. And at first it was all fun and games or whatever. And then like he pushed me a little too hard, and I saw red. So I got pissed off and just belted him right in the nose, and I broke his nose. And that's about the only fight story I have, but it was pretty funny because his brother got blamed for it and not me. So
I had a similar story at a similar age. This kid who he lived on my block, and we were always kind of friendly, but for no reason that day, he just decided it was like pick on Woody day. And the one thing that he did that made me see red is he had like, I'm going to call it chewed up cereal in a straw. And he pointed it at me as if he were going to blow it at me. But there was a screen door in between us, so I thought that he wouldn't really do it and didn't like, take evasive action. And he did it, and it went right through the screen door. And it was like chewed up cereal or crackers in a straw, like a worse than a speedball, right? And that was it. I called him out. But he was pretty convinced that he could beat me up, and he wasn't concerned about it. But the thing was, he was prepared for, like, a 9-year-old fight, which is mostly a wrestling match. And that's not how I went into it. I went straight for the punching, and I hit him in the face. It broke his glasses, which cut his face. And, I had full mount on him, and he punched me in the ear at one point. So I punched him right back in the ear. And he started to cry, and it went really well. And I even remember one of the older kids, like the, masters of the block, being like, I thought it was going to be a stupid wrestling match. This is a good fight. And it was. It was a nice victory. And, he spent the whole day picking on me for reasons I still don't understand.
I got to say, I'd hate to be anybody fucks with me now. Because I'm at the point where I know I can't fight. So if you get an altercation with me,
it starts dirty.
You get hit with something.
Yep.
Pull a Ric Flair and thumb him in the eye and stuff and go for the low blows.
Wings is like, this is to the death, buddy. You really don't want to start this.
Hey, on current events, do you guys know who Gary Faulkner is?
No.
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 So Gary Faulkner went off to Pakistan to hunt down Osama bin Laden by himself.
Machete.
He had a machete in his hand. And he really planned this out. I think I don't know if this was his first trip. I heard something about 5 to 6 trips. I don't know if I read that he had saved enough money for 5 or 6 trips or that he had gone 5 or 6 times. But this guy goes to Pakistan and hunts down Osama bin Laden with machetes by himself. And so how was
his goal? His goal is to bring back his head.
Yeah.
I would have brought the machete, but I at least took a weapon with me to deal with
Like, everyone else has AK-47s.
Imagine for a second if he succeeded. If he came back across the Pakistani border drenched in blood with Osama bin Laden's head in one hand and a machete in the other, like bullet wounds in his arms and legs, and he was like, where's my $25 million? Let's do this.
I picture him going through airport security with Osama bin Laden's head in a bowling ball bag. just like checking it in. Passes right through
maybe
the X-ray.
Maybe that could be the new plot for the new Rambo movie or something.
Nice. Sounds pretty
They actually are making the new Rambo movie?
Yeah, Rambo 5, I think it is. Yeah.
Really?
Rambo 5.
Starring Stallone, I assume?
No, yeah. Stallone's not doing it.
Is he not?
No.
I know Stallone's in some new movie with, like, you know, all the big action guys.
Stallone said he was done with the series after 4 because Rambo went full circle, but the studios bought the rights to the name, so they're going to continue making movies.
Oh, okay.
What's the movie with every action star in it?
It's
Expendables.
It's got, like, Dolph Lundgren and,
I love how Dolph Lundgren's the first guy he names.
Yeah, right. He-Man himself.
Hey, Ivan Drago scared
the shit out of me when I was a kid. So.
Dolph Lundgren, Jet Li, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jason Statham, and
Stallone. Yeah.
And Randy Couture.
Yeah.
Yeah, Randy Couture. I like that guy.
I bet that would be the kind of guy you wouldn't want to get in like a barroom brawl with. Randy Couture would just. Like, I can just imagine, like, somebody who doesn't know who he is just goes to bars.
See an old balding guy?
Yeah, he looks like a nice old man or something.
And he's, like, slapping random chicks on the ass and stuff. He's like, what, you got a problem, buddy?
That happened to, Bass Rutten. Bass Rutten was at this event with, like, NFL players and such. And, somebody, like, walked around and gave Bass Rutten the shoulder, like, you know, popped him a little bit. And he gave this friendly, like, you know, sort of jovial bounce around, like, hey, what's that all about? And the NFL guy was like, you know, you got a problem, MF? And then his friend, like, tapped on his shoulder and told him that Bass Rutten was, like, you know, the Pride world champion or whatever the heck he was. And he apologized to Bass. Like, it totally turned around. hey, I got a topic that's been coming up lately. Paying for a friends list spot. Blame Truth, do you do that?
I do not because I just don't see the point. I mean, regardless if they pay me, I mean, I'm probably not going to, like, even do anything with them. Like, I'm not going to talk to them. So, I mean, I don't.
Pro tip, you got to play Resident Evil 5 or Left 4 Dead to play with Blame Truth.
Yeah, that's true. Or no, UFC 2010. UFC 2010. I love that game. But yeah, I don't really see the point of doing that. I mean, I make enough money from Machinima, and I remember jokingly, like, a long time ago saying, like, you know, if you want a friends list spot or if you want to 1v1 me or whatever, send me 1600 Microsoft points. And I did it as a joke because I was not big at all. I had like 2000, 3000 subs, and I didn't think anyone would do it, but somebody actually tried to do it. I'm like, nah, dude, I was just kidding. Don't bother. So yeah, I'm not really into that, but.
I love when people ask you to 1v1 like they're somebody. Like, you bet you couldn't beat me 1v1. Like, who are you?
I don't even claim to be good. So, I mean, I don't understand why people, like, think I'm some kind of, like, I've gotten people saying, oh, you're cocky and stuff. I'm like, dude, when have you ever heard me in a commentary say, I'm the shit, you know? Like, I've never done that. I don't plan to. I just post, you know, if I do well one game, I just chalk it up to me doing something right and upload it. So,
yeah, but
I mostly charge for friend requests because I don't want people sending me friend requests. I deleted a guy's friend request 4 times in a row today, and finally to send him a message, I'm like, dude, take a hint.
Hold up. I got one in my inbox right now that would be perfect for this.
I sent him a message and I said, I was like, dude, take a hint. And he's like, come on, And he, like, gives me this sob story about how, like, you know, I'm new in this country and I'd love to be your friend. I've been watching your videos. I moved here from Serbia. And I'm like, that's great, dude. I appreciate it. But, like, I don't know you, Serbian person. He's like, oh, come on, please. I'm like, what are you going to say next? With sugar on top? Like, come on, leave me alone.
And you know, if it was an isolated thing, it'd be easy to be like, yeah, hey, how are you? But,
yeah, exactly.
When there's like 30 people a day that want something from you, I reply to most of my, YouTube messages on, you know, that show up in my inbox, but 80% of them fall in this format. Like, hey, Woody, I really love your videos. This is what I want from you. And
yep.
You know, that one is, you know, I expect to play with you. I expect to play against you. I want a video on your channel. I want a, you know, montage on you to do this for me. I want to be, you know, in your box. I want to do this. And it's always something. 80% of the time. It's never just, you know, hey, enjoyed your podcast. It's always, hey, enjoyed your podcast. This is why I expect to be your next guest host.
Yeah.
Well, here's this message. I'm going to leave his name out of it. But the message is, hey, man, with a smiley face. Hey, dude, I added you on PS3 yesterday, but for some reason your profile disappeared off mine, so I added you again. Looking forward to playing with you.
Some reason, who knows?
You start to, you know, be a little more guarded. It's hard to avoid.
How can you not call that guy an idiot?
I don't know. Well, lately what I've been doing, like,
you know why I disappeared, kid? Because I declined the friend request.
But I mean, like, I have no problem playing with random people. I mean, like those people that have actually paid, like, what was that guy? Like, the other night, it was, like, me, you, and a couple other guys. And, like, I invited, like, three of the kids who had paid. And, like, the one guy's like, I definitely got my money's worth. He got to play with Hutch for, like, 2 or 3 hours. He was psyched. He's like, I would have paid you $100 if I knew I could play with Hutch.
I mean, I invite all the people who pay. I mean, Kyle's seen them, too. Like, you know, that Agent Smith guy and Ghetto C-Nanners.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, C-Nanners paid me, too. His name is C-Nanners, but it's with a 3.
The thing is, I'm on the other side of this, right? Like, I'm not getting paid, and I have to play with these people. I don't always like them.
Well, I mean, I don't get paid, and I don't even play with anybody. Like, on Modern Warfare 2, at least, I don't even play. Last time I played Modern Warfare 2 with my friends, it ended up, like, one of them would rage quit because Modern Warfare 2 is so shitty, like, every time. And then when you have to back out and get him back in, you know, it was like a constant thing, and it's just so annoying. So
who's the,
like,
rage quitter?
Oh,
he's trying to pin this on me. When I rage quitter, I'm usually
you
done.
Shut the hell up. You don't know what I'm thinking. I just want to know who the rage quitter is.
No, I mean, it's a bunch of people that rage quit. Like, I play with Rickshaw and Bubba, I think, one time. And
why would Rickshaw rage quit that game?
He rage quits a lot of things. I rage quit. Hell, I admit it. And Bubba, I mean, God, you know Bubba. He fucking rage quits hard. But, I mean, it's just too much trouble. Like, I'll play COD 4 with anybody pretty much because it's a much more calming experience. But, you know.
I never rage quit, man. I bet in Modern Warfare 2, after the care package glitch got fixed, I may have rage quitted like twice since then. It just hardly ever happens. I was in a video with Wings the other day. And I started out 5-1. I had the Predator in my hand, and I lost my connection. And he had like 100 subs telling me I rage quit. Who rage quits with a 5-1 KD?
Hey, Woody,
you're up
Woody,
by like
thank
5.
You for rage quitting.
You're up by
I
like
got a 6-man AC-130.
Yes, yeah. And everyone was like, "Oh, the you know, Wings would have got him with the AC-130." Look, Wings is great with the AC-130, but the Predator hits the ground first. That's just how it goes. And yeah. Anyway, who rage quits? 5-1 KD, you're up in CTF by, like, you know, 5 flags or something, ooh, and you've got a Predator in your pocket, and you're like, this isn't good enough? No.
Dude,
we should talk about CTF.
Yeah, we should. I'm talking about Woody. How do you feel that they took CTF out the game?
I think it was a mistake. They took out two of my favorite playlists, Mosh Pit and CTF, and they added this bare bones thing. And
it's not, like, bare bones.
Oh, what is it?
It's not bare bones.
Yeah, so it... Now, look, I try not to complain about Modern Warfare a lot because I think people, you know, I like the game overall, and people who listen to my, you know, videos and such, they like the game too and don't want to hear me bash on it. But I can't resist. I got a little upset. If I scratched your car every day and then one day came along with some nail polish and covered one of the scratches and said, there, I hope you're happy now. It's like, no, you made it worse. Don't act like you're doing something for me. I don't want you to have one iota of a hint of satisfaction that you may have listened to the community, because you didn't. You got it all wrong. It is worse than before. Just stop trying to help me, maybe. I don't know. I sent you 5,000 gosh darn Twitter messages saying, make the NoobTube occupy the first slot. In the purse, like it did in COD 4. 5,000 messages to Robert Bowling. And then now his response to community feedback is a killstreakless playlist? Don't pretend you listened. Don't pretend that you made a step in the right direction. Don't pretend you're anything but bad at your job, because you're very, very bad at your job. So there you have it.
I said this in my new commentary, but it's not bare bones. It's more like a chicken wing somebody just took a bite out of. You know what I mean? Like, there's still a lot of meat on that, and that just sounds fucking horrible, because it just means, like, if they take air support out, it just means, okay, here, Hardline and Cold-Blooded are now useless, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, like, all stopping power, all danger close, all lightweight. You know what I mean? It's just fucking stupid. Like, did they not think this through? Like, why can't they just do it? I mean, if they have to patch the game to release a bare-bones playlist with no perks, no attachments, no kill streaks, then wait until they have to patch the game, you know what I mean, before they release the playlist. Because at this state, it's just, it sounds fucking stupid. And people were telling me, you know, all week, like, hey, did you know there's a new bare-bones playlist? Oh, God, our prayers are answered. I'm like, no, it sounds really shitty. I'm not gonna buy the game back just because of that. So
prayers are answered. We've been cursed. You know, get this right. You did not do a good thing, Infinity Ward. You did a bad thing. And if and I don't want them to think that they might have scored a win with this. I don't want them to think that they've done any step in the right direction with this. They should have no satisfaction whatsoever. There's where I stand.
And let me say this. I mentioned last week, because I know that some of the people at Treyarch listen to our podcast occasionally. Something that I would love to have is a bare bones playlist. And what that would entail would be no perks, no kill streaks. The kill streaks are kind of iffy. I would be fine if the kill streaks were still there, to be honest. But no perks and no attachments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just gun on gun. And I mean, there will be no stopping power, no juggernaut, which, for the love of God, put juggernaut in your game. Don't listen to little 12-year-olds that can't shoot somebody one extra time. It balances the game.
Either put
Kyle, you can't do 360.
Either put juggernaut in or don't put stopping power in.
Yeah. If you're gonna have one, you gotta have both. So straight up.
Yep.
But just make great. Just make their secondary pro effects like shitty or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. The frustration in these multiplayer games usually comes from deaths that don't feel like your fault. If there's no way to avoid getting killed, then it's like you just throw your hands up and think this stinks. And that's what Danger Close Noob Tubes bring to you.
You hit the nail on the head, and people think that I get, or people get mad in general, or I get mad in general when, like, I just die. I'm like, I don't care if I die. I care if I fucking die by a guy who has painkiller, because that's bullshit. You know, mm-hmm. I shot him like 5 times with a Spaz 12 and he barrels through with a commando knife. You know, like, I did everything right in this situation and I still died. Like, that's not a game. That's more like just playing the lottery. It's like if you're playing checkers and you jump a piece, you know what I mean? And after you jump that piece, that piece that you jump drops martyrdom or something and knocks 3 of your checkers off the table. Does that make any sense? You know what I mean? Like, why would you want to play that? That's just stupid. It's,
you know what? I really like that analogy, right? You jump a checker piece, the guy drops martyrdom and blows you away. It's like trying to be good at Russian roulette.
Yeah, it's like you jump a checker piece and then it has final stand and you don't know about it. And then that final stand piece jumps 3 of your pieces and then comes back to life. You know what I mean? And it's just fucking stupid. I mean,
I remember I said one time, it'd be like, you know, if like the Red Sox lost 3 games in a row and then they had to play the Yankees and they were like, all right, give the Red Sox aluminum baseball bats. Let's do this. They've been on a losing streak. We got to get back in the game. We don't want them feeling like they're bad players. All right, because they're good. All right, everybody's good at the game. Nobody's bad. Give them the aluminum baseball bats, and you know what? Take the Yankees gloves away. We're gonna make this fair. Like, mm-hmm. It's bullshit. No,
yeah,
don't take anybody's gloves away, and don't give anybody a fucking aluminum baseball bats. Let's all play on the same playing field, and the better man's gonna win.
And Infinity Ward said they listened to the community, but who in the fuck asked for death streaks? Who in the fuck asked for that? I did not see anyone asking for that.
So why did put it? Let me. The idea of death streaks kind of rang with me before I saw them play out, because let's see, entering Modern Warfare 2, I wasn't on the same kind of dominant teams that I get to play with now, because I have a YouTube channel, and getting spawn trapped on like ambush was kind of unpleasant, and you know, I would be like the one guy on my team that would go positive, and it was hard to do because I'm getting mowed down by airstrikes. I'm the guy rushing for the turret all the time to take out the helicopter. And I'd finish games like 20 and 19, wishing that the guys surrounding me weren't just getting spawn destroyed. So when I heard about Painkiller, this is before I saw it, but when I heard about Painkiller, I thought, if I could break out of this area, if it could help me get a kill and then control that house, or help me get a kill and get to the far left side of the map where the spawn isn't, then maybe it was a good concept. It didn't work out, but I do like the notion of making it harder to spawn trap.
Yeah. I and another thing is this, you really don't even need dead streaks in Modern Warfare 2 because the spawns are so fickle, dude. We were playing Domination the other night, and it's like, oh, they're spawning at A now. Well, they're spawning at C now. And they're just bouncing back and forth and back and forth. I remember COD 4. I remember when I first, the first word I heard about death streaks, we were playing Domination on Countdown. And basically what you do, you know, you get up on the drainage lids and you spawn trap them inside the hangars. And they just spawn in there over and over and over and over. And you just kill the fuck out of them. You know, everybody on your team's got 50 kills. Mm-hmm. Everybody on their team's got 30 or 40 or 50
You're
deaths.
You're all competing
and
to call in your helicopters.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I got next chopper, man. It's like, fuck you, I got next chopper.
Yeah, you got next chopper if you beat me to it. How's that for a deal?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Great time. And somebody goes, you know, the next game has, if you die three times in a row, you get extra health. And I'm like, how much extra health? And they're like, I don't know. I think it's triple. I'm like, no. You got to be an idiot to give somebody three times normal health. I'm like, maybe double. I'm like, we'll just shoot them twice with an M16. No big deal.
No. Why didn't they just make Juggernaut a death streak? You know what I mean? Like, that could be the painkiller, like Juggernaut for that whole life.
Y'all debating this. I fixed Painkiller a long time ago. I'm still waiting on my check for Affinity Ward.
How'd you fix it?
You make it 20 seconds long, and it doesn't give you any health. It makes you invincible, but it's automatically canceled out as soon as you take an offensive action.
No.
As soon as you aim down sight, it's gone.
As soon as you fire your gun, it's gone. I'm like getting next to the room with you. I'm jumping on the counter and teabagging.
Yeah, you only got 20 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that part slipped by me. It's still a long time.
But what if they stab you?
No, that's an offensive action. Yeah,
that's when it undoes.
It wouldn't matter. You might die that one time, but he's done. His health is gone.
Yeah, but they got commando and invincibility, dude. They're going to run up to you and stab you. It's over.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. But how about this? How often do you get stabbed by a painkiller? Usually you drain him and he tries to fight back. As soon as you start drilling him, you're killing a normal health person because he's going to fire back.
I don't know.
I mean, you can make it 5 seconds, 5-10 seconds, enough to keep them to get out their spawn, but without running out there taking 300 bullets and shooting a grenade launcher, killing three people. I mean, we're looking for an alternative here, Kyle, because right now they can still commando lunge you.
Here's my thing. First of all, there shouldn't be a painkiller. All right, but if you're going to have it in there, let me know that the asshole has painkiller before I start fighting him.
Make him glowing red, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Make him be on fire, literally. make his body be burning and on fire, and you'd be like, you know what? No wonder the bullets didn't hurt him. The motherfucker's on fire. You know?
More seriously, you could just put the painkiller symbol over his head as he runs around or something.
Yeah. I thought the same thing with Juggernaut. Like, when I was playing Search and Destroy World of War, I'd be like, I would love to know if this guy had Juggernaut before I shot him.
At least when you're sniping, I would know to aim high. Yeah, at least when you're sniping. But I think just instead of having painkiller in, death streaks aren't necessarily a bad idea. Like, I don't mind martyrdom that much. I mind heat-seeking martyrdom in Modern Warfare 2. But I don't mind, I sure as hell don't mind copycat, because that's a piece of shit. But fucking Final Stand and Painkiller, that's just so stupid.
You guys are crying about Painkiller. I hate Lightweight Pro.
But you see, Lightweight Pro is an anti-camper thing.
I don't know. I lost
a lot of gunfights to faggots running around with Lightweight Pro and AA-12.
Yeah, I don't mind Lightweight. It's just the fact that Commando's with it. And also the fact that they can sprint past claymores and stuff like that.
They sprint past claymores, they mess up the spawn system, and if they do get painkiller, they can get across the map with it and with their shotgun out.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
Shotgun secondary.
Was it
Ninja works in this game? I'm probably the only person crying about this, but I hate the fact that Ninja is 100% silent.
Yeah, I hate that it's uncounterable. It needs a counter. Sitrep
doesn't do it.
Yeah.
People are like, Sitrep does it. It doesn't.
Wait, so Ninja's 100% quiet?
100%.
Are you sure?
All right.
It's not 100%, but let me just say this. When I've got X41s, which it's debatable whether they're as good as Astros. I've tried both, and I prefer my X41s for several different reasons, but...
They're surround sound. They're really good quality, basically.
Yeah, it's a good headset, and I crank them all the way up, and I have only sound hoard a Ninja Pro one time, and I was guarding the Search and Destroy bomb site on derail, and I heard the guy crunch in the snow. And I had time to react to that and shotgun him. But in Call of Duty 4, I'd turn my X, I had X3s at the time. I'd crank them up, and dude, you're not getting near me with dead silence. Oh, I know where you are. I'm calling you out to my teammates. I'm like, all right, I don't need to say anything here.
In COD 4, I could sound horror dead silence on,
Shipment.
No, the one with the rain. Help me here.
Wetwork.
I'm going for Downpour, the grassy one.
I'm about to say, you can't do it on Wetwork because I can't even do it on Wetwork. I know Kyle pulled that bullshit against me.
Well, I've got a much better headset than you.
I have the same headset.
You don't have the mix amp. Do we have to go through this again?
Just stop. All right. Forget the headset. Just stop. Please, for the love of God. All
right. But yeah, in COD 4, you could hear it better. In World of War, it's not completely silent because sometimes I still hear
it. Oh, it doesn't work in World of War. You got a crouch walk.
World of War's fucking sound design was messed up because
it is bad.
Sometimes no. Treyarch designed it that way to make it as it makes you quieter, but it doesn't make you foolproof.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like just the default footsteps. Like it's pretty hard to sound war in that game because it just sounds like somebody rattling quarters in their pocket when they walk. Like there's no definite footsteps.
I played last night for the first time. And my own footsteps makes it sound like someone's dropping quarters all over me. It's not the footsteps. It's like, I'm like, what am I wearing? Chains and jingle bells on me? Like, what the hell is happening? Like
I always factored this in because you're not playing a special ops guy. You're playing basically
a reindeer.
A soldier. No, you're playing a soldier. Soldiers aren't trained to be stealthy. They're not trained. They're trained to hold a rifle and kill people.
Yeah.
These are not special op guys like you're playing in COD 4, like the SAS or, you know, like Marine
Insurgents. Reverse engineered an explanation for some shitty sound.
No, they obviously put it in there for a reason. Treyarch makes the game harder. They add recoil. They make it that silence hard.
They could have just copied like COD 4 sound design completely.
I mean, they adjusted that for a reason.
Yeah.
Because they're using the Call of Duty 4 engine. They could have left it that way.
My guess is they just freaking changed things and made it worse. Because the jingle bells on a character doesn't really seem like, you know,
they make it so the headset isn't as useful.
Oh, dude, I remember playing game battles on World at War, and we were sound horning those guys so hard. It was like, all right, they're both here.
But they made it so that you could sound whore with your regular TV. Because you can actually turn the music off. You can turn every game sound off but the footsteps if you want.
Great move, by the way.
Yeah, I need to do that.
That stupid fucking Modern Warfare 2 timers running out bullshit that lasts 20 seconds.
I don't want to hear
a guitar solo now.
In COD 4, I think I'm quoting you when I say, you know, oh, they freaking break into the Donkey Kong music as soon as things get really important. Like that's
Donkey Kong Bongo Beat or something.
Yeah, it's like, okay, 1 minute's left. This is the most crucial part of a search and destroy game. So let's have a guitar solo and some loud music.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what pisses me off the most about Modern Warfare 2. It's just so many stupid decisions. The stupidity just gives me a headache.
COD 4 has it, but it's not as bad.
Okay. I came from World of War, so I'm used to having no music at all.
Yeah.
The fucking music they play when the game's sitting on like the fine match screen pisses me off. Cause I like have it sitting on my capture card and it'll start playing on my subwoofers. It's like boom, boom. So I got like 3 subwoofers hooked to my computer and it's like,
yeah,
the fuck? You can't turn it off either. They don't give you an option to turn it off. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Treyarch did it right. They had a squad system so you can squad in-game. So if your buddy wants to join, he joins your game. You can put him in your squad. You don't have to leave game. They made it so you can adjust every sound in the game, voices, cinematic, you know, music.
You can search by connection.
You can make it so you only get games in your local area.
Yep.
I mean, they basically, the lobbies, you can see how everybody's TDM, free-for-all, search and destroy. They had a KD based on every game mode.
After a game report or whatever, it shows how many kills you got with your like air support or whatever. You got your dogs and your
And they've got that website where you can go and you get all your stats.
Yes, true.
And that breaks it down game by game. Like it'll show you everywhere you ran, everywhere the enemy ran.
Yep. Really? I have to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They actually went all out. It even shows you where you shoot them.
I mean, you're trying to say it's reverse engineered for a city. Treyarch designed the footsteps to be like the way to mimic, you know, a foot soldier.
You know what? That's a great idea to integrate into a YouTube commentary. Like, go to the website and take a screenshot of that and, like, show, you know, like, all right, so you can see right here where the hotspots were on the map and, how I moved around. That'd be great for the YouTube video.
I gotta say, Treyarch destroys Affinity Ward community support.
That's true. Well,
yeah, destroys. Well,
everybody destroys
it. I mean, so, they even have they even had like a squad call-out system, which was like, you know, very staged. It kind of sucked. At least they tried it.
I was an Infinity Ward apologist for quite some time. And people say Infinity Ward community support was terrible. And I was like, kind of a slack. You know, they wrote this patch a while ago. Microsoft just hasn't deployed it yet. And, you know, hey, look, I code. And I know that sometimes it's not even the patch that's the hard part. It's all the rest of the QA and the delivery and the user acceptance testing and that stuff. And you act like they're not trying hard, but they are trying hard. There's just a lot more to the process than you might have guessed. So I was an apologist. But now, you know, this game's been out for almost 8 months, I think. And it's just been too long, and they've lost me. They've lost me in their corner.
They fixed the Javelin glitch, and they fixed 1887s and the care package glitch.
It's just stupid because, like, UFC 2010 is getting a patch. They've been working on a patch ever since, like, the first week of the game when people had some problems with that. And,
what the hell? Battlefield's working on an expansion set after making Medal of Honor.
Yeah, fucking DICE have made, you know, several patches that not only fix the broken aspects, but they tweak things like weapon balance.
While building another game, Medal of Honor comes out soon.
Although I will say that you know, for all the praise Treyarch is getting is having better community support, that Jug MP40 is still wrong, and that people have been screaming from the rooftops for over a year now about that, and they haven't done anything.
You're not gonna get that changed because JD 2020's number one gun is Jug MP40.
it's been game breaking.
It's like saying Robert Bolden uses M16. We got to take that out.
I didn't say it, JD. You still my boy.
Before Modern Warfare 2 came out, everyone said Treyarch was terrible. They're the, you know, bastard stepchild. They're not the good one. Infinity War.
And let me say this. I didn't say that.
you were in the exception, though, right? I mean, I think everyone knows that.
I remember what you're saying, though. I used to like Treyarch's better than Infinity Ward, and people were like, you crazy as shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you like Call of Duty 4 not because of Infinity Ward. You like it because the M40 is a fucking noob cannon. You like it because it has no recoil and one shot on any part of the body.
M40.
You like the fact the MP5 is slow rate of fire and, you know, kill four people easily with low recoil. You like M16's a death laser.
Well, Infinity Ward was the prized company before Modern Warfare 2 came out. And now that Modern Warfare 2 has all these troubles, Infinity Ward hasn't bothered to address them, Treyarch looks better in retrospect. But we'll see. You know, I still look at Treyarch and say that MP40 is a problem, and you guys are never going to do anything.
It's really a problem because people abuse it. But it's nothing like a one-man army Danger Close. Nothing.
Yeah, I'd say the only thing wrong with World at War was probably the MP40. And granted, it was fucking rage-inducing.
But even then, every gun on the game could hang with it.
The other SMGs could definitely hang with it. Like a Tommy gun with stopping power, that could hang with it, yeah.
And like it's like a Gewehr. If you're using the Gewehr right, like you're not trying to rush into like a close quarters combat range with it, it will destroy an MP40.
That is true. I do that with my carbine.
Machine gun will two-shot a juggernaut on that game.
In COD 4, I could outline a scenario where pretty much every single gun was the best choice. You know, like it. Nothing killed faster than a scorpion, except the shotgun, up close. Does it do 50 points of damage per bullet? Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's what it did.
It drops off really quick, but if you're in the same room as a guy, nothing beats it but a shoddy. And, you know, the scorpion would be better if there was any scenario where you had to shoot for more than, whatever, 20 or 30 feet. You could go down the line and find a scenario where that gun was the best at anything.
Every gun had their little, you know, own little...
Had its niche. And if you play the game enough, then you're like, all right, I'm on block. This is how I intend to navigate the map. This is the class that works for that. In Modern Warfare 2, it doesn't really go like that. Like the LMGs, you only use those if you want to gimp yourself. The
SMGs especially. God.
Well, the UMP is a terrible SMG.
The UMP is the best SMG. I don't agree with people saying it's overpowered because, I mean, fucking hell, man. I use the UMP like sometimes, and I'll get raped by a guy using an ACR, you know, I still think that assault rifles, pretty much every assault rifle except the F2000 is a better choice than the UMP, personally, but that's just me.
I think they should make the hipfire worse on assault rifles.
Yeah. They need to do something. They need that sway back. Oh, my phone's ringing.
Maybe they could make the the difference in running speed more dramatic. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, because you pretty much can't make the you can make the submachine guns have a fast rate of fire by putting rapid fire on it, but it makes their aim down sight worthless, so we don't want to go that way.
Yeah. You know, so sometimes the feedback on the podcast, people don't like the game talk, and I think we've had a lot of it. So, new topics. I could either go into my cool story bro of the week, or we could skip that. And
we only got, like, what, 15 minutes left?
I think we're, you know, we could end, but yeah, here's the way this went down. This sub writes me, and he says, I want you guys to talk about getting caught masturbating by your parents. And I'm like, I don't know about
Never
this.
Did.
And he's like, you know, I'm 15. I've been caught twice. I know you've been caught.
What?
And I'm like, I don't think I want to talk about this. And he goes, don't be a pussy. I was like, all right, I'll add it to my list, and we'll see if it comes up.
Yeah, my next comment will be blocked.
No, it I don't know. The way I read, you know, the don't be a pussy thing, it came off as kind of funny to me.
Jokey?
Yeah.
I read it that way, too. Blocked.
Kyle, tell me you've been busted.
Never, ever, ever. And, I mean... To be honest, and like, all right, I got you guys. Some guy sent Wings a message. He was like saying that like he didn't like my talk about sex and stuff. Like I was some self-centered asshole. I'm like, dude, just be honest. What do you want me to say, that I don't get laid? Like I don't know what you want me to say. If it'll make you feel better, I'll tell you that. But I hate to break it to you, but it's not the truth. Like I mean, there was usually like a steady stream of younger ladies coming in and out of my room. So. People just knew, you know, it's not a good idea to walk in there unannounced, because you might see some, like, 15-year-old girl in an awkward position.
And no one here's ever been caught?
I've never been caught, no. I have a lock on my door, though, so.
I guess I'll go. I've never been caught, like, you know, with pee-pee in hand. But what I have been is I think I was having a naughty dream, one that would have resulted in some sort of ejaculation, and I was downstairs on the couch, and I was in this like half awake, half asleep state, and I even remember thinking like, oh, this is awesome, I'm going to enjoy this, and my mom like rushed everyone else out of the living room, and yeah, that happened one time.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, that's how I went down though.
You were talking about like being half awake.
There's one more thing. So now that I'm an adult and I'm married, there's a rule. I shouldn't share this. My nephew listens to this. But if I get caught by my wife, she's got to blow me. That's like the deal. So
I'd be walking around all the time. Like,
yeah, it's been enforced twice.
Well, let me tell you a secret, not getting caught. You do it in the shower because nobody's going to walk in on you in the shower.
No, in what situation you want to get caught? I'd be doing the laundry, like, yeah!
It's she, like, hey, babe.
She, like, walks and you're doing the dishes with one hand and the other. You're like, yeah!
Because, you know, I had been, you know, busted by her, and it was like this, you know, jokey sort of pointy, like, I had, look, I caught you. And I'm like, all right, you know, if you're going to go down that way, if you're going to, you know, act like it was a prize to catch me, then there are the repercussions. You got to blow me and finish this off. And that's how we roll in the Woodworth house.
I think you just shattered your image, Woody.
What did they think? I've got two kids. What? You know, what like, how do you think that happens?
That's like the Pope saying, well, not the Pope. The Pope doesn't get pussy.
That we know of.
Tom Hanks?
Yeah, that we know
I don't
of.
Know. Tom Hanks says kids, too. The man's not a virgin. This is...
You know, he did try to get in Jen A's pants.
Oh, Jen A.
I hate Jen A. She's a fucking cunt.
Yes.
Yeah, she's a bitch.
She sort of turned her act around in the end.
Fuck her.
Yeah, after she got AIDS and was like coked, after a life of being coked out and bang slutted.
And wanted his money.
Kyle's talking about her like she's an ex-girlfriend or something.
got a train running on by the Black Panthers. Oh, I'm ready to come back to you, Forrest.
Fuck you, Jenna.
Use a slut.
Oh man, he's got enough money with that shrimp company. He can get himself some nice ladies.
I always wondered that. Where'd all his fucking money go?
He's got it. He just lives simply. He's a retard, dude.
I mean,
He lives in his mama's house.
Now somebody's going to send me a message. I don't like you making fun of retarded people. My cousin's retarded. I don't know how many complaints have you guys gotten about me on the podcast? It's like two or three, right?
After he gets the shrimp company and he invests in Apple and all this other shit, he starts running and people realize and like start recognizing him. Like they don't know he's like a multimillionaire investor in Apple, owns the bubblegum shrimp company. Like people would recognize you.
Well, he did have a beard, grew a beard over the course of the
It's not like, oh, this strange man. No, this is a fucking CEO of a company.
Oh, I didn't tell you guys this, by the way, but speaking of people like getting mad about what you say, remember that COD4 TDM where I was using the MP5 on block? It's one of the more recent ones. I think it's like TDM53. And there's this guy in the game. His name's like Slopey77 or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I was making fun of him. Well, I actually got a message on my gamer tag on Xbox. And this guy goes, I don't appreciate you talking about Sloopy like that. He's my friend. And I'm like, dude, get out of here. Get out of here. And I check his friends list, and Sloopy77 is on his fucking friends list.
That's awesome.
I got a question. What do you guys do on the listeners of the podcast I'm addressing? How the fuck do you go 2-18?
I don't know. What?
I'm wondering this. I ask people. Nobody ever tells me in the game. I'm like, how the fuck did you go 2-30 on my team? We're winning. You went 2-30.
I see it all the time. It'll be like, I'll have a fucking strong ass team, dude. It'll be like me and Socrates and Reed and a couple other guys, and we've got them in their spawn the whole game.
Yeah, we're spawn trapping the motherfucker. We're all going 2-30.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like my, you know, it, on an average game, I hate to say it, but like if I'm spawn trapping, my average score is going to be about 30-5 or something if we're spawn trapping the whole time. And I look at this guy and he's like 5-16 on my team. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck were you doing? Like, did you like come over from their team and keep your score? Like, what the hell happened? I don't get it.
Are you the kid that plays with his wrist that Junkyard was promoting?
Yeah.
The deal.
I don't mind, you know, bad players because that's how I get my TDM.
Yeah,
I just don't understand how I can be on a team and you know those I hate my team videos where I'll go like, you know, let's say 30-1. Yeah, I went 30-1 in a TDM and I'm like, these guys I'm facing are not good if I'm going 30-1. So how is my team going so negative that we lose? You know what I mean?
Like, five people can't combine for 40 kills.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I'll give you one better than that. Keep talking. I want to find the score of this TDM. I've got a video up of it. I want to say that I went 53-2. Yeah, in a TDM. And jeez. I got the video up. I'm looking for it right now. I'm trying to see exactly how much we won by. But it was like, I went like 53-2 or something like that.
It's like the M16 game I put up where we won by 2 kills.
Yeah, like that's 54-8, that's 46-2.
I went like 48-2.
All right, it's 51-2. I'm looking at it right now. Let me skip to the end of my game and see what the final score was. Because I remember it was like retarded. All right, here we go. Here's the scoreboard. All right, I am 51-2. Then my team is, I'm just going down the list, 11-12, 5-8, 5-8, 2-12, 1-10. We they're all negative. We won 750-520. We only won by 23 kills only. And I went positive 49.
The thing about that is, like, I can understand, you know, sometimes the game can be random. Sometimes you can get a bad connection or just have bad luck or whatever. And, you know, somebody might, like, one person might go horribly negative. But when your whole team does it, that's not luck. Like, that's not bad luck. You know what I mean? That's just, like...
Yeah, my entire team went negative. As a matter of fact, I'm the only one in this game who went positive.
On either team?
On either team. The other team, there's some guys who went... There's the leader of the other team is 17-17. Number two is 15-15. Then it's 13-13. Then 4-8. 2-17. And 1-7.
I'll say this. How do you guys do this? I want answers in my YouTube box. How do you do this? I played Halo Reach for the first time ever when the beta came out. I still went 1-1. I even pulled some 2-3 KD games out.
I remember when I was first learning to play, we'd get into the lobby, and people on the other team would yell at me for sucking. And I was like, why are you mad at me? I'm providing a service for you. Aren't you happy that I suck? Like, it, yeah. You should be pleased and want me in every game.
I don't know.
Not me. I'm not. I hate people that suck. I'd rather go against some good people that have somewhat decent good, so I can talk shit to them afterwards.
Well, I mean, if I'm doing so bad that I'm going negative and really hurting the team or whatever in a COD game, like I'll usually leave, you know, because it's better not to have the teammate than a teammate that's going like fucking 2-18 or whatever.
That's like the guy that fucking lost our win streak that one time, Woody. Remember him?
Oh yeah, that was so frustrating. His name was King something. Do you remember?
I don't remember his name, but I remember he's a bitch.
We were in a lobby. There were six people, and we were playing TDM. And I had an 80-game win streak, 8-0. And I wasn't having a particularly good game. I was positive, but I was only like positive 6 or 5 or something like that. And my wife's in the other room streaming movies off Netflix, which makes it just really difficult to play well. And they're all laughing, but I swear it happens 5 nights a week. Anyway, so there's this guy running out in the middle in Scrapyard constantly. He just got his sprint on, heading out that office front door, like past... where C-Dom would be, or A-Dom would be. And at one point, I'm like, dude, I have an 80-game kill streak. Please stop. You know, just hide in the corner. We'll win this game for you. Just stop all your dying. And he wouldn't stop. And I hardly ever fuss at people in lobbies, but I fussed at that guy. I was, you know, I was frustrated. 80-game win streak, lost. Because he was such a jackass, he would not stop running into the sprinting into the middle of Scrapyard.
The whole team was asking, dude, just go sit in the corner.
Yeah,
we'll win this game.
Just stop. And it was like he was committing suicide or something. But he wasn't committing. He was just bad. He went like...
He was talking shit, too.
5-15, yeah.
He was a black guy.
I've got a similar situation, but it's the opposite. We were playing Modern Warfare 2 Team Tactical, and there were only three of us. And we were on, I don't know, a 50 win streak or something like that. We're pretty much always are for playing Team Tactical. And this guy was just going super negative in a TDM on Favela. And I noticed that he was like 3-8 or so. He was like 3-18 or something like that. I'm like, you know, whatever his name was, Mellow Jordy. I'm like, Jordy, you gotta leave, man. You're killing us. I'm FPS Kyle. I'll send you a friend request. He went, holy shit, you are. And he's gone. I swear to God. Like, he instantly recognized me and was gone as soon as I said it.
Did you follow through and send him a friend request?
Yeah, I sent him a friend request.
Nice. Did you delete him 2 days afterwards?
I don't know, maybe 2 months after. Like, I'm not going to keep that guy around. Like, I'm on a tight ship.
Oh, you and Socrates.
Okay, Kyle's goal is to have the best friends list on Xbox, and he has succeeded.
All right, I'll tell you what. If I had seen Enerza and Xcal on my friends list, I would have one of the most gangster friends list of possible.
Man, you got a Treyarch community manager on your friends list.
I got pretty much everybody. I'm collecting you guys like baseball cards at this point. I recently acquired JD2020, who's the community manager at Treyarch. He's Robert Bowling, but not a homo. And
he just had a baby.
Robert Bowling?
You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger had a baby too.
Elton John was married, remember?
Oh yeah.
By the way, Blaine Truth, I want to call
Jackson
you
has
out
kids.
On this. I don't like that you make fun of Robert Bowling's family. It seems wrong to
me.
You know, like,
I don't make fun of that. You misunderstood. I don't make fun of his family. I simply told a story one time about how like 402 had a blog post up, and it was like it had a picture of his baby, like him holding his baby. And I was telling the podcast crew, like the Gentleman's Choice crew, about how This one guy commented the picture and just said hideous, and then somebody just commented above him and said, "Wow, real mature man. Don't talk about his family like that or whatever." And then the guy just commented back and goes, "He goes, I was talking about the kitchen, but now that you mention it, that baby's pretty fucking ugly too." And I told him that. Ever since then, like it's mainly them. I try not to
egg
him on.
No, come on now. You said the baby had a square head.
It does.
That's not nice. It's like this is a Robert Bowling is a community manager, and that makes him somewhat of a fair target, right? Like if you're going to have a YouTube channel, if you're going to be a community manager, you have to be somewhat prepared for the feedback that comes from that kind of, you know, public spot.
Yeah.
But his baby and his wife didn't sign up for that.
That's true, but I mean, they can make people make fun of me for looking like the Geico caveman, like when I have a beard. So it's cool with it. You just gotta roll with it. I mean, seriously, I don't mind. So,
but I
mean,
get that. I had a
cone head when I was a baby.
You have a YouTube channel. You've got what do you have? 100,000 subscribers, something insane like that. And so you're like, all right, I'm in a position of popularity, and I'm going to get all sorts of weird feedback, like Geico caveman, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But if they were to insult your baby, that would be crossing the line.
Probably. Yeah, that's why I tried to stop it. Like, I just said, I mean, it's mainly the other guys that do it. Mainly, Gangster Hebrew and Andrew Williams or whatever. Like, I said it the first episode of the podcast, I think, jokingly. Uh-huh. And they made it like a weekly thing. So I tried to, it was just like a joke, and it got kind of out of hand. But I mean, if I had a baby and it had a square head, and somebody said it had a square head, I wouldn't get to it.
I think you'd see a different story there. I know I'd be ready to choke me a motherfucker out.
Well, no, I mean, I had a cone head when I was a kid, and people said, hey, they told my mom, and like, hey, he has a cone.
Oh, you're fucking beasting this game. I've watched this game before, but like you, like, I'm at the part where you're in front of the construction building and you like do a 360 and kill motherfuckers.
Kyle Beeson in the game. Not a good podcast topic. No one else can see it.
I think it's a great podcast topic, guys.
You should leak this video in the podcast.
Like, I mean, I know there's a lot of you guys out there who maybe don't subscribe to me. Like, I got some of the most Beast COD 4 footage you're ever going to see. It's some sick stuff.
Literally, you ever see, like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where they, like, do a spin move and kill, like, people around him? Kyle did that with a P90. Just spun around and killed, like, four people.
All right. So I think we're well over an hour at this point. Do you guys want to do what do you cool story, bro, or wrap up the podcast?
Let's do the cool story, bro.
All right. So here's how this works, Plain Truth. I'll list a couple of story topics, and then you pick them. So my first apartment, my worst beating ever, Woody's testicular torsion, or Woody's race relations?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one.
Race relations.
I don't know. What was the second one again?
I'll do them all. First apartment, worst beating ever, Woody's testicular torsion, or Woody's race relations?
I'm just going to go, oh, man, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with four, the last one, though.
The race relations?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm about 15 years old, and I work at a shoe store. I'm selling shoes at Leon's men's store, like jeans and stuff like that. And I'm waiting outside after it had closed at like 5 p.m. for my brother to pick me up. And I don't know what I am, 15, I might have been even 16. And this black guy walks by me, and he's about 2 years younger than me. And for reasons I don't know, he called me a fag. And I'm like, yeah. So, he walks by, calls me a fag, I say, fuck you. And that's kind of how it starts. Now, how this fight would have worked, I'm not exactly sure. He was shorter than me, but a little more muscular, and I was a little older, but, taller and thinner. And it would have been, I think, somewhat of a fair matchup. But I'm also there with my older brother's friend. And I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and my older brother's friend was like, bug off, kid. You better go, or the fight was going to be between those two, which was not a fair match. My brother's friend would have crushed him. So all right, fair enough. The little kid, leaves. And he comes back with a posse, including this one guy who must have weighed 300 pounds. He was like Kyle's dad. And, yeah. And now they're all focused on my brother's friend because he was the one, who threatened to beat down this little kid. And when the kid retold the story, it was, probably like, look, this big guy's picking on me, etc. So I said it was a posse. I don't want to exaggerate. There may be three or four guys, including one who was really more of a mountain than a man. And I don't know who called the police or what. They hadn't started beating my brother's friend, but they were, like, pushing him around. And the cops start coming out of nowhere. This is the same police department that rounded up, like, the 300 rioters in the other store. They're really effective. And they're, like, jackknifed the cars in the streets with the sirens going off. And in no time at all, there's, like, six police cars breaking this whole thing up. And they ask me, what happened? And I tell the story just as I did now. And the police start, taking the black guys and throwing them in the back of the cop cars. and the big guy didn't want to go. So there were like five or six cops who eventually tackled him and cuffed him by his feet and his arms. And, you know, picked him up somehow and laid him belly down into the back of a police car. And they offered to give me a ride home, which is sort of what my whole intent was, just to get home from after my after-school job. And one thing I'll never forget is, you know, we're sitting in the back of the police car and he's giving us a ride home, like, you know, to make sure we get there safely. And he turns around to my friend and I and goes, and they wonder why cops are racist against fucking niggers. That's what the policeman said to me. And I was like, wow. That it was kind of eye-opening. So that's my cool story.
Sounds like an American History X story or something.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Story. I hear you trailing off.
You've never seen American History X?
Hold up. You never seen
Back the curb, X. Nigger.
Oh,
that's a good move.
Is that the guy with the tattoo?
Yeah.
That the Nazi swastika on his chest.
I've seen the scene where he curbs the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically the movie in a nutshell is this guy who is like a neo-Nazi and he, you know, he's really racist and stuff. And but then what happens? He gets sent
raped?
To jail. Well,
he gets sent to jail curb stomping a guy.
Yeah, he gets sent to jail for like killing a black guy. And in jail, he meets this black guy and becomes really good friends with him. When he gets out of jail, you know, all his neo-Nazi racist friends want to continue doing what they're doing, but he's had a change of heart, and it's really pretty inspiring. So,
good movie.
You go watch.
I thought, Wings, there's something wrong with your mic. It sounds like you're far away.
He's in the other room.
Oh.
There we go.
I'm sorry.
Sounds like you're in a bathroom, man.
No, I thought you were saying that I stole that story from a movie, but that's not what you were saying.
No, I was saying it's like that movie. Oh, okay. Like, the story's like that movie.
Like I told
it
the story
sucks
where
how the,
once
how the
my
movie
friend
ends
died and we used his body as a prop all weekend long and staying in his wealthy house. That's Weekend at Bernie's. Anyway. No.
Woody, nobody that watches our podcast will see that movie.
Right. I've dated myself.
And I've seen the sequel.
That sequel's awful. How do you have a sequel about a movie with a dead guy?
She's going to start rotting eventually. Come on, guys. Stop carrying this guy around. It's a crime at this point.
But, yeah, so that's my story. And you know, on that whole race thing, like it. So I'm pretty much against racism. You know, I stay real clear there and don't have any prejudices. But there was a few years in my life. So the first college I went to was William Patterson University. And while the college was it was 8% black people, because of the way that, what do they call the financing that the kids get? Like, the student loans and because of the way it worked, the percentage of kids that lived on campus that were black were almost half. So they had a really big presence, on the campus, even though in the classroom they were just 8 or 10%. And, while I was there, there were a couple incidents that made it hard to ignore some of the trends. And like, so if there was a moment in my life where I was, you know, having feelings, you know, where I'd think differently of a black guy when I saw him, you know, not something I do now, but something I was doing at the time, it was when I had all these bad exposures, this repeated stuff. Like, I'd take an elevator to my dorm room, and they would want to skip my dorm room and go to theirs, and they wouldn't allow me to leave the elevator. They'd, you know, there'd be like five guys surrounding me, hitting the door closed, and they'd go to their room, and then only after they left the elevator, they weren't willing to wait for the doors to open and close, so they'd keep me in there with them. Stuff like that was totally race-based. You know, they weren't doing it to any random people. They were doing it to white guys. It, you know, I guess, I don't want to say I was racist, but it had me feeling like that. And so when a
Woody, you've never worked a tip-based job, have you?
No. But
don't tip.
When so that's faded away, and it's easy for it to fade away now because I have nothing but positive experiences. I can imagine how, you know, it would happen to a policeman who had negative experiences with black people all the time, how it could creep into his, you know, psyche. I think that's what I'm going
with. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah.
I know you live in the South, Woody, but down here, it's going to sound really racist.
Go ahead. They already hate you.
I mean, black people feel like that you owe them something. Straight up. They don't tip you. They don't do anything for you. They're more likely to do what you just said, like ignore your floor because they have power in numbers.
We have what you call Black Bike Week down here at Myrtle Beach, and it is the worst 2 weeks. Well, it's a week, but it's about 2 weeks long. But it's the worst week to be down here because they trash the place. They leave trash on beaches. They'll do burnouts at stoplights. They'll drive real slow just to piss you off. I'm not a racist guy myself, but I understand racism. That makes sense.
Tell you what, yeah. Whenever I saw a black guy walk into the car dealership, I was like, fuck yes. That's my man right there. You know, I love selling cars to black people. Black people are awesome to sell cars to. I would rather sell a car to a black guy than any other race. If you got a white guy, he was always going to be the guy who'd like, well, I've been on E-bomb and I saw that this and that. And he's like done his research for like 10 fucking hours the night before. And he's telling me he's giving me quotes from other dealerships and shit. If I get an Asian or an Indian guy, they're going to hassle me for days because they come from a culture where, you know, there aren't stickers on stuff. You haggle for a loaf of bread at the market. But you got a black dude in there, make some money.
You know, I've read that same thing. I read, like, Confessions of a Car Dealer, and his experience totally mirrored what you just said.
That's how it is, man. Give me the supercharger and the sunroof.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's gonna ride today.
The guy's like, I don't know, man. That's a high price. I'm like, dude, look at the rims. He's like, you know what? You're right, dog. You're right.
You put the tires on the pose.
I'm like, look at the grill. He's like, fine in the bottom line. He don't care.
I don't know. I grew up in a town where nothing really bad ever happened, pretty much. Like nothing. Not even like, you know, petty larceny or whatever. But I grew up watching like Sanford and Son and stuff like that. Black comedies and the Jeffersons and all that. So I mean, I've never really had any.
I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah. I grew up in Section 8 housing.
Wow. But, I mean, yeah, I've never had any, like...
Is that a federal program?
Reason to be racist or whatever.
It was Section 8 back then. It was like, I forgot what it was called. It was like community housing or whatever. It was low budget. Mm-hmm. You had to pay for it. But it was really, really cheap. It was based off your income.
Absolutely. That ties into my first apartment story. I lived in
that. And I grew up in that. That's what all my mother could afford. And so I was around black people all my life. That's why I have that kind of Ebonics tone to me when I get mad. You know.
You go death metal when you get mad sometimes.
God, it's disturbing.
God damn it!
My favorite is when like he picks a team like one of our teammates to like go after and blame for all of the problems that he's having.
Even his own problems. You know, yeah.
I'm going to be like, God damn you, Star Fox. I stubbed my toe, you dumb piece of shit. Like, wait a minute. How's that Star Fox's fault?
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely. Some guy will, like, come in the back of the door and shoot him with the shotgun. He'll be like, Star Fox, you're 5-7. What the hell's wrong with you? And it's like,
why don't you get out of my back? Well, the way I'm reiterating that is the fact that he's doing so poorly leaves our flank open. If his ass is getting his skills,
that he's giving the enemy team, like air support because he's dying so damn much. You know?
Because my whole idea, if people are holding their ground, you're not going to get flanked.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. People can get the kills or they can at least go 1-1. You pretty much don't have to worry about people just constantly coming in your back door and owning you.
Yeah.
It's the people that can't hold their flank, that fold over like lawn chairs that you hate. Fuck them.
I hate bad teammates, and then people say, well, just play free-for-all. Well, I hate fucking boosters, too, so what do I do? You know, there's no other third game type that
I play. I did that. You know, it was like, you hate bad teammates, why don't you go play TDM or free-for-all? So I start playing free-for-all. I'm tired of playing free-for-all. Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch you play free-for-all no more.
Why does every subscriber sound like a... Like a mesh between Forrest Crump and Sling Blade.
Well, they are.
That's my crybaby. That's my crybaby voice.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing like a Forrest Crump Sling Blade thing.
No, that's supposed to be somebody crying while they're talking.
Oh, okay.
What do I mean, Rob?
Oh my gosh. Don't do that one again.
I mean, what the hell do you want me to do?
You go. You're a KD whore. Won't you go in a game where only kills happen, so you won't do as good? I go in those games. I'm scoring spectacular scores, 50 and like three. Well, you couldn't do that in domination.
What the fuck? Yeah, you know my KD goes up.
I just ignored the flags.
If I play TDM and free for all, I get higher KDs. That to me is nice because I don't have to stand in danger spots. I can just sit there and worry about.
You know where they're coming from in domination.
I remember a couple comments I've seen recently that were really funny. Somebody put a comment on one of your videos, Wings, that said, come to PS3 and try that shit. I thought that was hilarious.
I played,
And then I swear to God, on one of Sandy Ravage's videos, when he was using the silent spaz, the guy goes, you're such a dumbass. Use it with stopping power and steady aim and without that silencer. And I was like, maybe he was just trolling, but that was one of the dumbest comments ever.
They gave some dumb comments.
Yeah, I played PS3 the other day because I did this charity drive. People did $50. I told them I'd play with them. And we worked out with a kid, and I think it was yesterday I played PS3. I got two Harriers, and neither of them was shot down the whole time.
It doesn't.
On Xbox, a Harrier is hardly worth more than the airdrop. It just, you know, people hear it coming in, and they're pulling out their Stingers. On Xbox, people run Stingers as their secondary just by default. Like, not even for me, I have an anti-air class, and if an air support takes me down, I'll switch. A lot of guys on Xbox just run Stingers all day. Air support does not do much at all there.
They use their ACOG grenade launcher, shoot the grenades, die, so why do they care? A secondary doesn't matter.
And I was really surprised. So I was playing with, I think, four guys, and the other team got air support. Okay. Because I hardly play PS3, I haven't unlocked Stinger or Cold Blooder or anything like that. So I was like, guys, whoever dies, flip over to your Stinger class. Of all four, not a single person had a class that could take down air support. That's unheard of. Everybody on Xbox has an air support class, and some people have every class as an air support, as an anti-killstreak class. It's
at least have a cold-blooded class where it won't fucking shoot at you or whatever.
I mean, can totally see why, you know,
White Boy Seven the Street gets these 100+ games.
I wasn't gonna call him out, but like, yeah, you know.
He's a big one. I mean, I even sent a message to him like, dude, you're not making yourself look good. You're making the system look bad posting games like this. Post regular games.
You know, like a Harrier is like an automatic chopper gunner on that platform.
It is, dude.
Taking him out.
This week I was playing on PS3 on my scrambled UAV name, which I'm about to unhook my PS3 again because I don't like playing on it. But the first care package I got was a payblow. I was like level 4 or something. And it got 25 kills.
Whoa.
That's a lot of kills.
Jesus Christ.
25 kills. I go from 4 kills to 30 or 31.
I'm psyched to get half that. I've gotten half that, I think. You know, I've gotten that crap.
It was a rundown. The payblow was killing so efficiently, I had to stop playing and watch the kill feed.
Yeah.
So bad. Damn.
So, I'm not going to say that the players are less skilled. You know, for all I know, they're as good on the stick. I'm not sure. But there definitely is a different mindset.
I addressed it. It's because half the people you go up against are on their secondary account where they're fucking around.
That could be.
Yeah, probably. I like that commentary. Well, I like that commentary you did in Wings where you're talking about, you say something like, you're complaining about people putting on bling just to put on like an ACOG or a red dot and then like a grenade launcher or whatever.
Oh, you should wait to my next machinima post.
Okay.
On a sub base and when the count when I was going, I go to the left like, hey, we got a noob on our team. You can see the ACOG and the grenade launcher on his left.
Commentary, you were like complaining about it, like you're actually pretty pissed off about it, and then like 15 seconds later, you die, and it's a fucker with like a grenade launcher and an ACOG on his M4 or something.
I see that set up all the time.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I saw Pyrotaz. You guys know him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. He plays all the oddball classics.
Yeah. Like, he's the only guy, like, him and Wings are pretty much the only guys I watch anymore, is because I think Wings is funny, and I think Pyrotaz is, he puts interesting setups, you know, so.
No, I'm with Woody. They should be an asterisk beside PS3 games.
I was watching him, and he actually picked up, like, I think it was, like, might have been an M4 with either extended mags and ACOG or like heartbeat sensor and grenade launcher. That's like just really stupid setups, you know, with bling. Like, I mean, when I think of bling, I think, you know, the main reason somebody would want to use it would be to use like a silencer. In or their sight, yeah, you know, because the sights suck on the gun or something. But not most of it's like heartbeat sensor, extended mags, or something stupid like that.
I want to end the podcast, but G-Unit posted a search and destroy nuke.
Oh Jesus!
You know, both the search and destroy nukes are on BS3.
That's another good point. Did he have hardline on? Did
G-Unit did? Yeah. He had UMP hardline. Okay. Blocko had ACR hardline.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say, like, whew. But yeah, that it's fake. I mean, it's already confirmed. Some guys on my forums actually. Can I say this on the podcast? Will I get
yes, help? You can.
Okay, well, some guys on my forums actually said something about a week ago before this video was posted, like the S&D nuke. They said that. You know, they went into a lobby or one of their friends went into a lobby or something with G-Unit and he was actually instructing people on what to do. And he just left because he didn't want any part of it. You know, and he was saying how he was trying to get a nuke and search and destroy. And this was like a week ago, you know, and how would that guy know that, you know, a week later G-Unit would post this? You know what I mean?
Like, well, so he put that up even before G-Unit did it? Like he accused
Yeah. He put it up like a week ago, about either 5 days ago or a full-fledged week ago. So,
yeah.
I even sat down and talked to this guy. I'm like, G-Unit, it's not about killstreakless nukes. It's not. People buy into you. They don't buy into your gameplay. I could go out there and put 20 and 20 games. People would still watch them.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for that. I mean, my whole channel's built on it. But,
But so I'm just saying, like, if Blame Troop would go tomorrow and put 20 and 20 game up TDM where he's getting destroyed, I'd still watch it.
I might do that.
Yeah, I was thinking of posting a game like that, you know, where I get like a 1.5 KD and sort of analyzing everything that went wrong. I've been waiting for a really bad one. One that I haven't had any games that are really bad where I felt like I was outplayed in a while. Like if I have a bad game and it's because noob tubes are coming from everywhere, it isn't the same learning experience that there would be if I kept making, you know, more tactics.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there. I have a really bad game I've set aside because it was that bad. It's just incredibly bad. But I don't want to do commentary on it because there's no learning points in it. There's nothing I did wrong.
Yeah. See,
it was a ground war crash. There was 14 million noob tubes coming into that little area.
Exactly, yeah. You know, if there's 14 noob tubes, and a lot of guys are running RPGs and AT4s now, same sort of thing, and there's danger close on it. It's not like, you know, someone just decided that area got mini-nuked and there isn't. It's not the same sort of learning experience that it would be if you know, I was moving improperly or running across the open too much or, you know, doing the things you can fix.
Well, I wanted to post a game where I run around an invasion for like 3 minutes just around the whole map with Marathon, and I don't see a single fucking person like the whole time. Same with Derail. Derail, that's happened before too.
Yeah, like, I've been there. I've been on Derail running laps around that map. And the spawns are flipping as I get there. And
high rise is the worst for flip spawns. You'll run to one side, they'll flip. You know, you run back.
It can be frustrating, but I'm sorry to cut you off. I roll with a fairly disciplined team now, and we spawn trap on high rise reliably. It's a blast.
Yeah, that was a big problem with me when the game first came out. I'd be yelling at people, do not do that. And even like when Sandy Ravage does it, it pisses me off to watch it on videos when somebody like jumps in there with a shotgun. No, hang out the window. Hang out at the window, dude.
Yeah. You can go, I don't know, up to the window, pretty much. Into the tunnel, and you can go up to the window, and that's that. Don't go further. You'll flip the spawn, and you know you're not a beast for rushing into that spawn. Little children could get that done. You're getting it done because, you know, everyone else has, you know, pushed them back into it.
Played their role.
Yeah.
Did their job.
Right. You know,
it's not
in.
You doing this.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you have single-handedly pushed the whole team into the building and now you're going to go in there and finish them off. No. It was a team effort to push them into that building, and you are just undoing it by rushing in there. It doesn't make you good. It makes you bad.
Oh, man. Don't be on my team and let me see you do that.
Yeah.
I will give you a tongue lashing.
I'm sure you would. But I don't do that.
You've heard me do it to people, Woody.
I have heard you do it, yep.
I did it to Murka Durka. I don't even want to play with that kid because he did it.
Yep, he does. I remember he said, he's like, I don't want to shoot fish in a barrel. I'm like, that's what we're here for. We're here to shoot fish in barrels. That's the game we play.
That's the line you stood in when this ride was coming up.
That's what I do. I remember I did a video on how to spawn trap on high rise. One of my videos covered that. And I had a lot of people in the comment section say I was ruining the game. It's like, you know, that's not good. I was playing with FPS Russian, and this was fantastic because, you know, the guy was like, you're a bunch of spawn killers. And he's like, but you are a spawn dyer.
It's a spawn dyer.
So, anyway, we should close the podcast.
All right. That's been podcast Painkiller Already, episode 10. Rate, comment, and subscribe. How to subscribe will be in the description box to the 13 million videos that be posted that is coming up. Also wanted to say that Mr. Redneck Star has been getting, you know, flagged for posting up Painkiller Already videos on his channel. He has our permission to do this. Do not flag his videos. Thank you.
Oh, I also want to say the Gentleman's Choice is on an indefinite
hiatus.
Yeah, that's it. So mainly because we all have differing schedules, and like XCal and Gangster Hebrew and myself, sometimes our sleep schedules get horribly out of whack. And then there's an Irish guy, and you know, but it's on like a little break, so stop pestering me about it, please. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Thanks, all right. Everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.